these songs to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Thank this church for having us here.
Bless
for the good spirit I feel here.
Amen.
Thank you all.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, ladies. We enjoyed that.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Be all right if we call you again sometime.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah, sis.
This is my kind of singing. It may not be your kind, it's my
Amen.
Kind. I just like folks that love the Lord and just to sing out of their heart. He beat that. Amen. All right, we're going to ask Brother Homer to come and get your Bibles ready. And let's have him preach tonight. Got a lot of sermons he's been preaching for a long time. Not trying to say he's old or anything. He's been preaching a long time. I asked a girl up this week, and used to ask folks, how old do you think I am? You know, and they'd always go 10 years under or something. And I asked a girl this week, she said, oh, you're about 62. Brother Homer's been preaching a long time. Good to have his wife, Sister Wanda, with us.
Amen.
Also. We love her. Yeah. And so I know he's got a lot of sermons God's given him down throughout the years, but I also know there's one, just one for tonight.
That's right, brother.
And I pray that God's put that on his heart.
Yes, Lord.
And pray for him tonight.
Get my blessings back, Lord.
Appreciate being here. Thank God for his goodness and his grace.
Amen.
And you pray that God gave me the right message tonight. I told my wife, I got two of them on my heart, so I don't know if they want to stay around with me. Praise God for them. It's always a joy to come this way. I have been preaching a long time. I see 46 years now, Brother Rick. This past March, 1969, if I'm counting my days right, years right. I was in church one Sunday morning, and I've said over the years, I'm not much of a preacher. I've just been trying to feed God's sheep and dehorn a few goats along the way. I was sitting on the front pew in the church up in Indiana, and the house was packed out that morning. It wasn't a big church, a small church. And our pastor was real sick. And Brother George Carter, he's from Kentucky someplace. I don't remember what city he was in. He was there in the church, and I guess I was singing with a quartet over the years. I guess he'd see God using me in my testimonies. And he put his hand on my shoulder and said, you're going to preach this morning. He said, our pastor's sick, and nobody's here. And God troubled me. Said, if you stepped out, you could feed my sheep. And that's what I've been trying to do.
Nice.
And I said, if we leave a few morsels of bread behind along the way, then our journey's not been in vain. I hope we've been able to do that.
Sure.
Let me say,
brother, I like I turned it on.
It's
okay. It's good.
It's on? Okay. Thank you, sir. And I hope I've left some morsels of bread along life's way for some folks as we travel through this life here. And let me say this, I've been privileged to preach in, I don't know, 12, 14 different states in Russia and Israel, different countries over the years. And I don't know any place I'd rather be than here with your pastor, and I mean that, Rick, that's my heart, and Sister Max Helen tonight.
Bless you, Lord.
You people are special to me. Bless Hope you. I've showed you that since we met you 8 or 10 years ago, whenever it was. And I came here and preached just before. I think you had your first Jubilee. You had us down one Sunday morning and kept us around for Sunday night.
Yes, sir.
I guess he wanted to wait and see what was in the bottle before he invited me for both services. He said, preach Sunday. And I preached that morning. The Lord was gracious to us. He asked me, could I stay that night? And I said, sure. And we appreciate your friendship over the years.
Bless.
He's a type of preacher I've met hundreds over the years, if not thousands. And he's the type of preacher, when you meet him, you feel like you've known him all your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we're friends, and I appreciate your friendship.
Bless you, Lord.
Thank God for his goodness. Having said all that, I've been here, like I said, over the years, preaching for you in your Jubilees at different times. And you know I'm not locked for preliminaries, but I felt like I need to say that tonight. Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, all right?
Amen.
If you're able, let's stand in honor of the reading of God's Word tonight. 2 Chronicles 7, starting with verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices
And the glory of the Lord filled the house.
Amen.
And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Skip down to me with me, excuse me, to verse 7. Moreover, Solomon hollowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, and there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offering and the meat offerings and the fat. Also, the same time Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from entering in of Hamath into the river of Egypt. And in the eighth day they made a solemn assembly. For they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents. Now notice this, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had shewed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. You may be seated. I appreciate you honoring the reading of God's word. I want to preach tonight on a subject, some things that was in Solomon's temple here that we need in our churches across America today. Some things was in Solomon's temple that we need in our churches across America today. First of all, you notice the Bible teaches us when Solomon made an end of his prayer, dedicating the temple, that the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Yeah. I think one more time, we need the glory of the Lord back in our churches today.
Yeah.
The Bible teaches us, as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And it seems like in this day and age which we live, we have a lot of, it seems like wildfire in our churches, or have no fire at all. Where we go from one extreme to the other a lot of times. But one more time, I'd like to see the glory of God fill our churches. It said it filled the temple so that the people, the priests, could not go in and minister unto the Lord there. And I've often, it's always amazed me that God, for some reason, has always wanted to dwell with mankind tonight.
Yeah.
In the beginning back there with Adam, the Bible teaches us that God walked with Adam.
Yeah,
God, I made fellowship with Adam.
Right.
He came through the garden and talked with Adam. And he was the first father, I think, that presented the first bride unto the man.
Yeah,
right? And the Bible says, and the Lord God brought the woman, right, that he had created from the rib. He took out Adam's side and did what? Presented her unto the man. He was the father that gave away the first bride.
That's right.
Now, that's Bible. Now, this is Homer theology for what it's worth. I think the angels played the first wedding march.
Yeah,
and the Lord probably performed the first marriage ceremony there. Because it's in the book of Genesis, right after he presented the woman and the man, he said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to the wife, and they claim shall be one flesh." Now, God, for some reason, has always wanted to dwell with man. Is that right? He walked with Adam there, and then Adam sinned, and God went along the road and found himself another walking partner. And the Bible said, "And Enoch did what? Walk with God tonight." And after a while, God took Enoch home, you know that. And over the years, it seemed like God has looked for somebody down here that he wanted to dwell with. And when he come along, he told Moses one day, said, "Won't you build me a meeting house?" He said, "Build me a place for what?" "What is a meeting house?" "A place where God can meet with his people." Is that not astonishing? God wants to meet with his people. He wants his glory to be here tonight. And we need the glory of God one more time in the house of God today.
Yes,
he said, "Build me a tabernacle. A meeting house."
That's right.
Word. You used to be old folks. Where are you going tonight, son? "I'm going down the Word."
Yep.
"To the meet with me." Oh, we met with one another, but folks are going out to meet with the Lord tonight.
Amen.
That's what he told Solomon. He said, "Build me a meeting house where I can meet with you now and worship with you now." For some reason, God has always wanted to worship with man and be with man and fellowship with man. And we know from studying the Bible that in that old tabernacle in the wilderness there, that in that Holy of Holies, where was up there? The Shekinah glory of God. God came down and manifested himself in the Shekinah glory in the tabernacle. We need God's Shekinah glory one more time back in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And there's one thing we need across America.
That's right.
It's the glory of God one more time.
That's right. We told that rich man one thing.
Yes, great Lord.
You remember the priest Eli? He was old, and he had he was a good priest, but he failed. You know where he failed at?
Yes.
He didn't whip them boys.
That's right.
Them boys was the sons of Belial, the sons of the devil. When the women would come up to the temple to worship, they would lie with them.
That's right.
And so Eli had not chastened them. And the Bible teaches us that God shortened his arm. In other words, none of Eli's descendants was going to live to be a ripe old age.
You're right.
And the story tells us, the Bible tells us, that Hophni finishes it. Phinehas, his two sons, took the ark of the Lord out into the field, the battlefield. You remember the story?
Yeah.
And the Philistines captured the ark of the Lord.
Yeah.
And the news comes back, and Eli falls over the wall and breaks his neck,
right,
hearing that both of his boys had been killed.
Right.
And then Phinehas had a wife in her. She was with child and ready to be delivered. When she heard the news about her father-in-law, that probably shocked her, okay? When she heard the news about her husband dying, that probably put her into labor.
Listen.
But you know what? When she heard the news that the ark was gone,
yeah,
you know what she cried out? She cried out, Ichabod.
Right.
And they called her son's name Ichabod. Why? She said the glory of the Lord has departed.
It disturbed
her more, the fact that the ark and the Lord, the glory of the Lord, had departed, more than her husband died, more than her father-in-law died, more than her brother-in-law died. Hey, we need to get the glory of the Lord one more time.
Back
into our churches today.
Amen.
It ought to shock us.
That's right.
It ought to bother us.
Yeah,
it seems like Ichabod is written over our doors, all over our churches in America today.
Amen.
For some reason, God is always wanting to dwell with man.
Yeah.
In that tabernacle in the wilderness, just an old tent, but his Shekinah glory was there.
Right.
And then he transferred his Shekinah glory from the tent over to the temple.
Yeah.
When Solomon built the temple.
Amen.
And Solomon had prayed here.
Yeah.
And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Not just in the holies of holies, but filled the temple where the priests could not go in and minister there unto the Lord.
Right.
And then we see in the book of Ezekiel that the people sinned. And that Shekinah glory of God departed. Am I right?
Oh, yes.
And it seems like that the Shekinah glory, the glory of the Lord, kind of lingered. The Bible said it was over by the ark. And kind of lingered over the ark for a while. Then went back by the threshold and kind of laid back there for a while. Hovered over it. I mean, my God, did you not see God been present and want to dwell with man, want to fellowship with man?
Amen.
Here man sinned, just like Adam back there, has separated between God and his creation here. And the Shekinah glory of God hovered over the ark for a while, went back to the threshold, and then the Bible said, Ezekiel said, he went out to East Gate and went up to that mount on the east. You know what mount is? That's the Mount of Olives. The same place our Lord ascended from. The Shekinah glory of God ascended from back there on the Old Testament. And that's the same place our Lord's going to come back one day and stay on the Mount of Olives. Hey, we need the glory of God one more time. Back in the churches across America today.
Good. Amen, brother. Amen. More than desire.
We see in the New Testament, and a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a child.
Yeah.
And thou shalt call his name what? Emmanuel. Which means what?
Thank you, Lord.
God with us. He clothed himself in a fleshly body and came down here. He was in the world, the Bible says, and the world was created by him, but the world knew him
not.
He came to his own, but received him not. But as many as received him, they
gave
power from the sons of God, as many that were what? Believe upon his name tonight.
That's right.
Is that not amazing?
Yeah, it is, brother.
Yeah.
Behold, look, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And now are we the sons of God?
Amen.
It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he which in our
hearts
shall appear, we're going to be like him.
You're going to be like him, brother.
Is that not amazing?
Yeah.
Amen.
See, Israel, the nation of Israel, at the time that Christ came here on the earth, they still was going through their religious rituals.
Yeah.
Right.
And if we aren't careful, we do that a lot of times.
That's right.
Right. Right. Yes.
We go through our rituals and really don't get down and worship like we should.
Amen.
Somebody said, what kind of people is the Lord looking for? The Bible said he seeketh such to do what? Worship him. He said he's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody that will worship him in what? In spirit. And in truth, that's the kind of folks that God's looking for tonight.
Amen.
And he said, what's he looking? He's looking for somebody that will worship him in spirit and in truth tonight.
Amen.
When the Lord came up on the scene and the incarnate Christ in the New Testament, the Jews was going through their rituals. Now, most of you know How many pieces of furniture was in that temple? Herod had rebuilt the temple. How many pieces of furniture was in that? Some of you's looking like, you know, they say that your mind can remember everything that you've ever thought or heard. But they say there's a key to unlocking it. And my problem, you lost the key. That's what my problem is a lot of times. We lose that key. Some of you are shaking that head. There are 7 pieces of furniture in that temple. That's a rumor, a complete number, a perfect number with God, all right? You had the outside, you had the sacrificial altar. Then you had the laver when they would come in there. And that's the type of the word of God where they would cleanse themselves when they come in there. Then once they got in the holy room, there was the shewbread and then the candle. Right?
Yeah.
There was all like really, but 7 branches upon him. And then you had, before you got in that holies of holy, you had an incense altar. Mm-hmm. See, those priests couldn't go before God even sweating. They couldn't wear wool garments. If they went in there sweating, God would kill them.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we praise God for grace today?
Yeah. Amen.
Yes. I can just sweat, slop, and spit all over. And God said, that's good. Keep it up. Right? Is that not amazing?
Yeah.
This day of grace that we live in?
Yeah, it is,
brother. They couldn't go in there sweating. They couldn't go in there smelling bad. And so they stand before that altar and burn incense. Now when they went in the holies of holies, they would take a golden censer full of coals off that altar. And what that would do, I think, was make a veil between that Shekinah glory. See, you couldn't look upon God and live at any time. Even the high priest couldn't. And it'd make a veil, that smoke would, between God and his Shekinah glory, between the priest and God's Shekinah glory there. They would go in there to worship God. And listen, inside that holies of holies, there was an ark in there.
Hey.
And then there was on top of that ark, the most important piece of furniture was the mercy seat.
Hey.
And in that ark was the Ten Commandments. Hey. And what the mercy seat was, where they applied the blood, and the blood kept them from the penalty of what the law requires for sin tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
There was actually 3 items inside that ark. You know what they are? Let me give you some great theological information here, okay? There was the Ten Commandments. There was some manna. Boy.
Amen.
Is that not amazing that manna was preserved after year after year?
That's right.
Because remember, if they gathered more than enough for one day, what would happen to it? The worms would eat it.
Amen.
It'd rot.
Yep.
But in that ark, see, that's a type of Christ, which is a type of Christ. He's good this year after year. Hey, listen, he's good for every generation. He's good for all ages tonight. He's good for all genders tonight, male or female. It don't matter. Hey, he's the manna to come down from heaven of any man. He'll never die tonight. Woo! And then there was Aaron's rod. Remember that rod? That's yours? Okay. That's all right. Did you ever see that rod bud? Aaron's did.
Yeah, it
did. Yep.
Not only did it bud, but it brought forth something. What was it?
Almonds.
You know what the definition for almond is? It means hastener. I mean, the almond's the first one. You know where I'm going tonight? Almonds is the first one to bring forth their fruit in the season. In other words, Jesus is the first fruits of them that slept.
Woo!
Hey, not only that, but that rod was a picture of authority or power tonight. And one day he's going to come back and move with a rod of horn.
Yep.
Right now, we need a Shekinah going in a church throughout America today.
Yes, amen. Yes. Amen.
Right. Now, those Jews were still sacrificing in Jesus' day.
Yeah.
But when the Lord died and that veil was rent from top to bottom, he exposed the greatest fraud of ever in the world.
Right.
You know why? There was no ark in the holies of holies. And without any ark, there's no blood atonement. I mean, now listen, they were sacrificing animals, but there was no place to apply the blood. There's no Shekinah glory. No, they was having worship without the presence of the Lord. Hey, God help us tonight to get his presence back in our midst. God help us tonight to get the Spirit back flowing through our service. And God help us tonight to get the glory of God back in our church one more time across America today. There was no Shekinah glory in that. They was worshiping without the presence of the Lord.
Oh, man.
They were sacrificing animals and going through their rituals. But there's no mercy seat. There's no place to apply the blood.
And when the blood's not been applied, hey, listen, you can sacrifice all you want.
You're right, preacher.
And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. The word remission means forgiveness. They knew that. The Jews did. But there's no mercy seat. There's no place to apply the blood. Hey, if you're here lost tonight, you can believe all you want to that Christ died and Christ did die. The blood is available now, but do you apply the blood personally tonight, it's of no avail to you tonight. They had no place to put the blood tonight that's going through a ritual without the Shekinah glory, without the glory of God. God help us to get the glory of God in our churches across America today.
Amen.
Not only do they have the glory of God, but they had a humility in their worship.
Yes, sir. Remember.
You notice it says they, when the people saw, they bowed their faces right down to the ground upon the pavement.
Yes, sir.
Remember.
God help us to humble ourselves.
Yes.
I remember when I was a young Christian, there's a boy stood up in church, a young man did. He made a prayer request, and I thought it was a pretty good prayer request. He says, pray for me that God will humble me. And my pastor stand up here and he says, I'll not waste my time praying any prayer like that. And I'm sitting over here. And you know, when you're young, your mind thinks real quick. You got a lot of that key with you. And I'm thinking, what kind of pastor is this we got here? I mean, that boy made a good request. And then he said, son, if I have to pray for God to humble you, that teaches me that you're not doing what the Bible taught you to do. He says, you humble yourself. He said, if God has to humble you, he may have to inflict you. God may bring some disaster upon you to cause you to humble yourself. But the Bible said, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God tonight. And God will exalt us in due time. They had humility in their worship tonight. They bowed themselves down on the pavement and got down there and worshiped God. Hey, I appreciate the songs tonight. I'm like, Rick, I enjoyed it. I like the folks that worship and praise God from their heart tonight. I'm not so much into Joe folks' business as we got in our churches today. I used to have the mechanics to come and sing for me. Now they're good people, but they got too big for me. And Barb and BJ, we was out to dinner here at Wild Black Spencer's. Is that the ones you were singing with, or is that the boys?
We were just there to hear them.
Here, Barb and BJ, we was in service with them here at Wild Black, and went out to dinner with them and talked about old times and some of the old preachers, Billy Kelly, and some of those we used to sit and listen to. And They're wonderful people. But I don't have much for this Gospel Music Association. See, they're giving out awards.
Yeah.
The Bible says you're not to let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, and vice versa. And if you receive or seek praises of men, you have no praises from him. God help us to get back to worshiping. The psalmist, when he wrote the first psalm, you know what he taught us in that first psalm? He taught us how to be blessed.
That's right.
He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I said, he taught us how to walk, how to sit, how to stand.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. In his law doth he do what? Meditate day and night. That word meditate, I've told you here before, I think maybe the last time I preached down here in October, that word meditate comes from the idea of an old cow chewing her cud. She'll chew that cud, get all she can out of it, she'll swallow it, and then spit it back up. That's what we ought to do with the Word of God. Meditate upon it. Chew it, get everything we can out of it. Swallow it, eat it today, and then pick it up tomorrow and go at it again. It's like nuggets tonight. The more you can, the more nuggets you'll find in the Word of God tonight.
Amen.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his thought that he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree that's planted by the rivers. That word rivers is plural, more than one. If one river dries up, God's got another for you. Rivers of waters, his leaves shall not wither. He shall bring forth his fruit in due season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You don't be a garbage man, God said, I'll prosper in that night. If you'll meditate upon the Lord tonight and keep your mind in his words tonight. And then when he wrote the 150th psalm, the last psalm. And by the way, how many verses in that first psalm? How many? Six of them. Yes, sir. How many verses in the last psalm, that 150th psalm? Some of you's looking for a key. Brother, let me let you in on a big secret, theological knowledge, six. Same as the first song. You know what he teaches us in the last song? How to worship. He said, let everything that hath breath, what?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. He said we ought to praise him where? From the firmament, from the temple to the firmament, in other words, all the way from earth to heaven.
Yeah.
We ought to praise him. Why? Because of his mighty acts, his mighty works, sir. Then told us what we ought to praise him with. Every type of instrument you can think of.
Yeah.
If you can't play the piano, can't play the guitar, get up and dance one time. That's what he said. Praise him with a dance. Right? Hey, if the Lord's in it, it's in order tonight, folks. Listen, he taught us how to praise the Lord in the last psalm. He said where we ought to praise him from, all the way from earth to heaven, from the temple to the firmament, and what we ought to praise him for because of his mighty act, and then what we ought to praise him with any instrument we could find. And then he told who ought to praise the Lord. He said, let everything have breath. You got breath tonight, then say praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hey, he said, everything got breath ought to praise the Lord. Then he brought it down individually. He said, praise ye the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise ye the Lord. Every one of us ought to be praising the Lord tonight. They had a humility in their worship tonight. They bowed their faces down on the pavement, upon the ground, began to worship God.
Yes. Amen.
There's a lack of humility.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to humble myself.
Bless you, Lord.
I said, it's hard for me to humble myself. What's that old song of country boy you sang? It's hard to be perfect, humble when you're perfect in every way. You say, I'm not like, oh, yes, you are. You just don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
That's something come up to church and you'll say, them folks down in church would listen to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In other words, I know all the right things.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
If they just listen to me.
My preacher.
Huh? Oh, I know you don't talk like that, but a lot of Baptists do, okay? Listen. When we get down to worshiping, there's a recipe here for revival. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, my people, which were called by my name. That's talking to the Jewish people. But I think that could apply to us also tonight.
Yes,
if my people, which are called by my name, would first of all humble themselves and pray and what? Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then would I hear from heaven, I'd heal their land. Listen, you know there's a force of nature tonight. What I mean by that tonight, nature through the clouds and everything, sends us snow, sends us rain, everything like that. But God, for men that pray, God has been noted to change the force of nature tonight. The Bible said Elijah was a man subject to like passions you and I are. He said Elijah had his days where he could pray far out of heaven. Elijah had his days where he got scared of a woman and run down under a juniper tree, almost had a nervous breakdown, praying for God to kill him. Does that sound like a lot of us Baptists? I mean, one day we come to church and we think we can swing out over hell on a rotten grapevine or pack hell with a water gun, and the next day we're having a nervous breakdown, wanting God to kill us or think we're going to die. Does that sound like us all the time? But he said Elijah prayed, and you know what God did? God changed the force of nature. He let rain not. He prayed that it rained not, and it rained not for 3 years and 6 months. He said, if Elijah can do that, you and I can do that. Now, listen, we live far under our privilege as Christians tonight.
Right.
Yes. There's a force of creation. And God has been noted to change the force of creation from him.
Man.
And women tonight. Remember Joshua? When he's in the battle. And he said, God, I don't have time to win. And you know what he did? He looked up. He commanded. It's no secret.
Yeah.
What God can do.
Yeah.
You didn't believe that tonight. What he's done for others. He'll do for you. He commanded the sun to stand still. Hezekiah was sick unto death, ready to die. He turned his face to the wall and wept and prayed. And before the old prophet could get outside, God could go back and tell him, God, I've seen his prayers. I've seen his tears.
Yeah.
Hey, tears are getting the Lord's attention tonight.
Yeah.
Prayers are getting his attention tonight.
Elijah, like I said, the man suddenly, Hezekiah prayed, and God at 15 years, he goes back in and says, what kind of a sign? He was a Jew, like most of us Baptists are tonight. We want God to show us something.
Amen.
If you want me to do this, God, you pray like that. You want me to do this, God, let this happen. You pray like that. Well, if you do, stop it, okay? That's a sin tonight. Whatsoever not a faith is sin, and the just shall walk by faith. And what God wants us to do now, God said, show me your faith, and then I'll do something for you now. According to thy faith, so be it unto thee now. We're saying, God, show me something. I'll believe it. You know, you believe, and then I'll show you something. We've got this thing turned around. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
I used to pray like that, so I read myself out of it. And he said, what kind of a sign? He says, what do you want? The sun to go down 10 degrees? He said, that ain't nothing. He said, it's already going down. He said, but if the Lord would send it back 10 degrees. God said, that's no problem. We hit the old handbrake, shifted it in reverse. Right?
Yes.
And we lost a day somewhere, and we have to have this year every 4 years. I don't know if that's Bible or not, but it sounds good to me, don't you? Hey, it's no secret what God can do tonight, folks. Hey, God has changed the force of creation. God's changed the force of nature for those that would believe on Him and just worship Him tonight. That's all He wants us to do, just praise Him tonight. And you know what the Bible said? He inhabits our praise.
That's right. That's right.
Inhabit means He dwells.
That's right.
You know, sometimes we'll say, pray that the Lord would be in the service. Just start praising Him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what He said.
Yeah.
He inhabits our praise.
That's right.
You start praising, He'll show up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He promises that. Now, they had some humility in their worship.
Bless Him, Lord.
The Lord had taught us here that He will do a lot of things. We know what He did for Enoch. Mm-hmm. Enoch, we know, is a picture of the church He got out before the rapture.
Yeah, He did.
Right.
I'm afraid a lot of times we've depended on ice cream and chicken dinners, and I'm bad about that myself. I love to eat, you can see that. But what's happened over the years, we've got as cold as ice cream and dead as a chicken.
Right.
Amen.
I'd like to see the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says in 126, Psalm 6, verse, he that go forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. You see, sometimes that seed fell on hard ground. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hard-hearted people, even our families in the world today.
Yes.
And what they had to do in Israel, because it was a lot of desert and a lot of heat over there, they had to wait for the former and the latter rains. The former rain would soften up the ground so them old flowers. See, they didn't have Massey Ferguson flowers back then. Some of you folks didn't know that, did you? They had no piece of wood, no little piece of metal on it. So sometimes it wouldn't break up the ground because the ground was too hard. And so what they'd wait for is for the former rains to come. And when the ground got softened, then they could go out and plow. Hey, that's what we need to go weep over all souls and over Spirit and ask God to break their hearts, and then the Word of God will penetrate their hearts tonight. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing what? Precious seed shall doubtlessly come again. What? With rejoicing, doing what? Bringing his sheaves with him tonight. They used to sing that old song, sowing in the morning, in the evening, noontime, whenever. We'll come rejoicing, bringing the sheaves. Ben, I don't want to keep you here all night tonight. I'm getting older. I am old, Rick. I had a birthday last week. 69 years old.
Bless him, Lord.
Then had some giving. Notice down there in verse 4. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. I'm not going to talk to you about your tithing. I feel most of you know you ought to do that. Should do it. If you don't, God's going to whip you. And I think that every Christian pays tithes.
Amen.
Maybe not voluntarily, but sometimes the Lord has to take it.
That's right.
But you'll pay. That's enough for that, okay? But what we need to do, the scripture of Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what?
Reasonable
service tonight. And folks that go back to doing that, our church would be full on Sunday night as well as Sunday morning.
Amen.
Now you can take this tape and play it for some of them folks that laid home tonight watching TV.
Come on.
Hell, if they want to come some other time, I'll be featured again if Rick will let me. What's happened to our churches across America? We come out Sunday morning because we got a job to do, and
we do our job and think we've done our duty for the Lord.
You're right, preacher. You got preaching.
And if we didn't have a job, we'd probably stay home most of the time.
Yes, sir.
Is that it?
That's it. That's it.
Somebody talking about me? No, I just been preaching a long time. I know how bad this up. I'm a Baptist preacher, folks. I know how bad this up. We'll come out Sunday morning, go home, get on the couch Sunday night, lay our feet up on that coffee table, turn on that one-eyed monster.
Amen.
Come back next Sunday and get up saying, "Oh, how I love Jesus."
Yeah.
It's true.
Hey, we need this humility of worship. We need God's power one more time.
Amen.
That's right. And we need to present our bodies, living sacrifice.
Amen, preacher.
I don't always feel like preaching.
Right.
But the Bible told me to be instant in season, out of season. He said, preach on where you feel like it or where you don't.
That's right.
Preach whether the spirit's high or the spirit's low. Preach while they amen you or while they pout on you. Just go ahead and preach. Huh? That's what we all do.
That's right.
I charge you, therefore, for God. God, he put it on my account. I got to give account to God. And listen, I'm going to turn in my report card pretty soon. It's not going to be long. I know that because age is creeping up on me. And I want to feel like I've done my best, Lord. When I get over back home, I fought a good fight.
Yeah.
I finished before. Paul didn't win every battle. There was times he got some black eyes. There's times he had to get in a basket and flee for his life. He didn't win every battle. But he said, I fought a good fight. I let the devil know I've been there tonight. I want the devil know I've been down there. Every once in a while, when folks start criticizing, I say, well, must be doing something good. The devil's mad. See, the devil's a liar.
Yeah,
he'll tell you before you got saved, you're not saved. And since you get saved, he says, I think you are.
Yeah.
And you know what? I started talking back to him over the years. I said, well, if I'm not, why are you bothering me for?
That's right. That's right. Play it right. Good man.
He don't bother those that's not his.
Right.
He'll tell us preachers sometimes, you're not doing any good in my quick preaching. I said, well, if I'm not doing any good, what are you worried about it for?
Amen, brother.
Must be doing pretty good. I got him upset.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Tell him. Just talk back to him. Tell him he's a liar. Hey, we need to get the glory of the Lord. Humility in our worship.
Yeah.
Back to sacrificing ourselves.
Amen.
And then they had some respect for the church.
Yeah, for sure.
They, verse 7. Moreover, Solomon hollowed the middle of the court. See, they were supposed to sacrifice that sacrificial altar, but he wouldn't hold all of it. So he got out there in the middle of the courtyard and said, let's just make this holy ground. Boy, if we could get back one more time and say, when we stepped out of our car out there, that's holy ground.
Right.
Yeah. It is. It's holy ground. It's been dedicated to the King of Kings tonight, the Lord of Lords. You know, when those priests would go into that holies of holies, like I said, they had the tradition, says they would tie a rope around their leg. Because they went in there and didn't present a perfect sacrifice, first of all, themselves, God would kill them. And nobody else could go in there. Till the next year when another high priest had been ordained. And he could go in there to make atonement for the people. You know, seeing therefore we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was all points tempted as you and I, yet without sin, let us therefore come what?
Glory.
To the throne of grace. That we may see you and I tonight can enter in where David couldn't enter.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Uzziah was a godly king, a godly man. He went into the holies of holies and wanted to offer incense up to God. You know what God did? God turned him into a leper.
Yeah, it is.
He lived in a circle house, a convalescent home, until he died. See, remember Isaiah when he started to write his book? He said, I remember when I saw my vision, it was in the year that King Uzziah died. Mm-hmm. He lived there for several years as a leper. Uzziah couldn't go into that holies of holies. And remember Esther? When Mordecai, her cousin, raised her, told her, said, you've got to go before the king and plead for your people. She said, now she was a queen.
Yeah.
She said, but no, said, if he don't send for me, if he's sitting on the throne and doing kingly business, if I enter into the courtroom, He's got a scepter of authority. Mm-hmm. See, if he don't wave that, tell me it's okay to come in, he'll kill me. I'm glad that the Lord sent out the scepter of authority. Matter of fact, he did. He sent an invitation.
Yeah.
He said, we can come boldly.
Yeah.
David couldn't enter in there. Uzziah couldn't enter there. But you can go holy in the holies of holies.
Right.
You can get up on the king's lap and sit down and say, Father. Father.
Yeah.
I love you tonight. Huh? You can go in there. See, on the Old Testament, it was just a mercy seat. But now it's not only a mercy. It's a throne room where the king sits tonight. If we can go boldly to the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy.
Woo!
Grace for help in a time of need.
Yeah.
So that ought to put a shout in all of our hearts tonight.
Yeah.
Nobody's tonight.
What a privilege.
Just saved by grace tonight, but we come in. And he lets us exercise the office of high priest and pray for our families.
Yes, sir.
It's lost and undone and going to hell tonight.
Oh, yes.
He's made us kings and priests. We're not reigning as kings, but we reign as priests tonight.
Amen.
Someday we'll reign as kings with him.
You're right.
And look at the results coming to a close. In verse 10, and on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away into their tents, what?
Glad.
And merry in heart for the goodness of the Lord had seen him taken. Solomon and Israel, his people. I pray tonight that I said something to send you home glad, merry. And you'll go home and say, boy, I was glad.
Yeah.
When they said, let's go out.
Yes.
The house of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad I came tonight.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I appreciate you inviting me.
Bless you, brother.
Give me a privilege to speak to men on the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Woo!
Yes.
Amen.
It's a great privilege we have to talk to men and women about the Savior.
Amen.
Like we have now. Go ahead. I'm through.
Bless you, Lord.
I think I got the right message.
Yes. We have to be at the flag to come, song ready to come this evening. We appreciate the preaching tonight.
Amen.
Spirit, let's stand tonight if you would. We want you tonight, mind the Lord tonight, okay? Like I said, we have an invitation that we can come boldly into the throne room of grace and find help in an hour of need. Now this 7 o'clock hour, you may have a need to bring it to the Lord. We have not because we ask not. Maybe tonight, you're here tonight and you're not saved. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the time. Now's the accepted time. Sometimes I think about that verse where the Bible said to God forbid that we sin cease to pray for you. And so we got families and people who need prayer. And sometimes they make a trip to the altar, talk with the King of Heaven. Might make a change, might make a difference. I know prayer works. I know God hears and answers prayer. And I believe sometimes it stays the hand of God. Sometimes it moves the hand of God. I'm just glad we prayed. Amen. Amen. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed just before we sang. I wonder tonight, someone here tonight said, Brother Rick, I've got something on my heart tonight. I need prayer. And I wonder if you'd just lift your hand up and say, pray for me. God bless that hand, that one. Hands all over the building. All over the building. Folks got needs tonight. Well, I think the Bible says, if I remember correctly, he'll supply all your need. Or your need. Your bank account may be empty, but his ain't. Your blessing pile may be down to the bottom, but his ain't. And if you need to come tonight, you come, all right? Use the altar here tonight to talk to the Lord for a few minutes. That's what this Marley used to sing a song. Need to get her to sing it again about the altar, and it says that's what this altar's for.
Yeah.
To come and pray. That's what church is for. I like that term. I like it. I wish we'd get back to it. Where are you going? Going to meeting.
Yeah.
going down to the meeting house.
Yep.
The meeting house. It puts an expectation in your heart. See, when you just say church, you're just going to church. But when you're going to meet, that's what the old people used to say. Where's Grandpa at? Oh, he's down there at the meeting house. Down there meeting with God. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for the good message. Thank you for the good singing, the good spirit. Thank you for these folks who've come out on Sunday night. Lord, I'm ashamed to say it, but in our nation, Lord, a lot of the doors to the house of God is locked and the lights are out on Sunday night. And Lord, I know that whoever's in charge of those places, that one day you have to give an account to God. Have the doors locked down at the house of God, the sinners living all around it, unsaved. God, we come tonight, we thank you for these folks who've come out tonight and have, Lord, come tonight because they wanted to get something from the Lord, and I believe if they come that way, I believe they did. And we thank you for these singers, thank you, Brother Homer and his wife. And God, right now we ask you just meet with folks on the altar, meet with folks tonight that have not yet come, but need to, and I pray you'd help them to just humble down a little bit more. And let God have his way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we sing, you mind the Lord.
119.
Tonight will be their last night to be with us for a while. And they're moving back to Murfreesboro, where they originated from, I guess, before they came here. And they'll be going back to their old church, Pastor Tony Hudson, and a good church, good pastor. And we're certainly going to miss them.
Yes.
We appreciate their faithfulness. And I've told people many times, I said, they love preaching.
Yeah.
And you don't find people nowadays, a lot of times, that likes preaching. But they like preaching.
Yeah.
And the harder it is, the better they like it. And they like preaching. And they have another characteristic that you don't see a lot. And that is, a lot of times you'll see them together, sometimes separately, come down to the altar.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know, a lot of times folks, they reach a certain stage in their Christian life, and I don't know what happens, but they just quit coming to the altar. So tonight we're going to have them to come down here to the front, and we're going to start in the back and have everybody to come around and to give them a handshake in just a minute. But I want them to come, if they would, to come on, and we want to give them a little something tonight to make sure they don't stay away too long. And this is a 3-day paid motel rooms for September the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th, which is Jubilee.
Yeah, there we go.
And that's in September. This little insurance to make sure they don't stay gone too long.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you both. Let both of you honor be your passion. Love you both. We're going to ask to start in the back, and she can play whatever she feels led to play there. And let's come around and give them a hand right there. This is just a reminder. So you